We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You're listening to TG1F, an F1 podcast with Kate and Nicole. We're your hosts.
I'm Kate.
And I'm Nicole.
And this is our show, where we talk about all things Formula One.
And a lot of things that are not Formula One, too.
Because why the heck not?
This is your formal invitation to a weekly hangout with your F1 BFFs, where we'll talk on-track action, off-track gossip, and throw in some hot pop culture topics.
It doesn't matter if you're a seasoned F1 fan, a curious newbie, or literally just think the drivers are hot. Because they are. There's a little something in this podcast for everyone.
Speaking of which, did you hear what happened this week?
No, tell me about it.
It's lights out and away we go, baby.
Whoa, I don't even have my agenda. I don't even have my phone on me.
We're just freeballing this week. We're crazy, filming.
Feeling crazy, filming together.
Filming right after the race. Who are we?
Who are we? I don't know.
Truly. Certainly not something we've ever done before.
Maybe once.
Maybe. Back when we were like in the early days of...
Well, back when we lived near each other and watched all the races together. Yeah. But other than that, it's been a while.
It's been a minute, but we're back together.
We're back together and we got to watch the race together this week.
I know, what a treat.
So fun. Such a treat. I mean, well, we didn't watch it live. We said this last week. We weren't going to.
You guys knew that this wasn't in the cards for us.
No, China was not going to happen for us live, but we did wake up and immediately put it on. So I think we did it. We did enough. We did our best.
Yeah.
We did our best.
And that's all we can ever hope for.
Really all that we can ever do is our best. But we have a lot to talk about from China.
I mean, it's fresh on our minds.
Fresh on our minds.
We were taking this while we were watching this show.
We were. We were like, all right, we're going to write this down, write that down, which we never do. So you guys are getting a really prepared episode today.
Yeah. You guys are lucky.
I fear we've come prepared today.
Guess what? We're being so brave.
We're so brave. Oh my God. The F1 commentators would be like, wow, so brave of them to come prepared for their podcast.
Crofty would be like, they're being so brave for writing an agenda.
You know, the thing that they're supposed to do. Anyway, and it comes along with their job. We did watch China. We didn't watch the sprint. I feel like
we did.
Oh my God, we did watch the sprint, didn't we?
Yesterday.
I was just prepared to be like, you know what, guys? We didn't actually do all of it, but we actually did. For once, we really did. We really committed to the bit of being F1 fans this weekend.
It's just been so hard with these late races. Like, it's just like it's throwing my schedule off because.
I mean, life has been hard too lately, dude. Like, we've had a lot going on.
I know.
There are some people out there that have F1 podcasts, that are content creators. And I'm like, you guys, how do you have the time? How do you have the time to do this so deeply every week?
I'm jealous.
I can't. I just can't. I try my best, but I'm just a girl.
I'm just a girl. Gwen Stefani.
Oh, I was saying I'm not a girl.
Not yet a woman. Mm-hmm.
That's also how I feel. I'm not a girl, but not yet a woman.
Anyway, yeah, we did watch a sprint race. And it was actually really exciting. That's why we put it on. I was like, okay, I've seen some things. I've heard some things. And I mean, I woke up to the news of Lando Norris being P1, getting pole for the sprint race. And I was
How could we not watch it?
Well, Max isn't in first place. So like, obviously it's going to be a little bit exciting. And
turns out it wasn't.
It was like
mild. It was exciting, but Max did win by 13 seconds.
He won by 13 seconds today too.
I just feel like I'm cutting Max out. Like I'm cutting him out of the equation for F1 in 2024.
Always.
Like I'm focusing on F1 in every other way. Like it's like we're eliminating P1 and we're going for the rest.
Well, today Nico was talking to Lando after obviously he came in P2 and he was like, oh, you know, despite coming in P2, does it still feel like a win for you? And Lando was like, well, anytime I finish under Max, it's always a win for me because obviously he's never going to beat Max.
Yeah. And Max is just like, well, that's just how it is.
Yeah. Max was on one today coming into he drifted into the finish line and he was just like, yeah, I'm just balls to the wall having fun today. He was kind of in a silly goofy mood.
He was, and I appreciated that about him.
And I really love that for him. Really him wheezing in the podcast room
when he saw Lance hit Danny. Just a wheeze laugh. I was like, that's so real. That is so real. That's exactly how I responded. Just it sounded just like you. Like you and Max are one in the same in that moment.
I think Max and I truly believe Max and I would get along really well.
100%.
I think we would really vibe. I think we could be good friends. Mm-hmm. So Max, if you're listening and you're like looking for a new friend, I think we should maybe try it out because I think that we could be good friends. I think we'd get each other.
I think so too. I mean, I feel like you guys are so similar that obviously I would get along with him.
Well, here's the thing too. It's like, you know, I feel as if I have a little bit of the same sense of humor as Danny, which is why I like him so much. If Max likes Danny, obviously,
it's a match made in heaven. Absolutely.
So, this was a really, really fun race.
I thought so.
Well, let me backtrack. It wasn't fun for me as a Danny fan. Once again, long suffering.
Similarly to how we have to just like kind of count Max out for this season, I think we have to just count out the Danny situation to qualify how fun a race is.
It's so hard though because he was doing so well. It was his best race.
It wasn't even his fault.
Well, depending who you ask. It wasn't his fault.
That is so funny to me. This is the best drama we've gotten in a while. Like this is like, I'm like, fight.
We need a repeat of Esteban. And or Max shoving Esteban in the garage. Like, Danny needs to go deck Lance.
Yeah, we need like a Michael Schumacher photo of Danny absolutely rampaging through
he's got the Arthur fist.
Like, I need it. Because if you missed it, Lance, as soon as he and Danny made contact, which, again, if you missed it, Alonso locked up and all during the safety car. So nobody can go faster or slower. Really. Like everyone has to go their same speed. And so everyone's bunched up. They're really close together. And Alonso locks up. Everyone's like in the turn already. So everyone basically, it's just like one after another. It's like a train car. Everyone is so close going around this. And so Danny obviously has to kind of brake a little bit because they're going around a sharp turn.
Yeah.
And Lance hit the back of Danny's car, lifted Danny's car up off the ground, and then Danny somehow kept going and finished the race.
No,
he didn't finish the race, but he kept going. Crazy. And as soon as that happened, Lance said, this idiot just like
slammed on his brakes.
Like, I couldn't do anything. And Danny kind of went off.
Danny said, hold my beer. He said, hold on. He said, oh, he said that? Oh,
my glucose brewing beer.
He ran his mouth about me like that? No, I don't fucking think so. He said, I was calming down. I was finding peace with the situation. And I hear he said that. Oh, that's pissing me off. I'm pissed off again. I'm ready to fight.
And so he said, it's so funny because like he was like, I'm trying not to say anything bad, but then is just like, actually, just kidding. I'm going to go off.
He said, you know what? Actually, I will speak on it.
Actually, I've changed my mind. He said, apparently, I'm an idiot and it was my fault. That made my blood boil. The only thing you've got to do is watch the car in front. I'm doing my best not to say what I want to say, but fuck that guy. And I'm being nice too. But if that's what he thinks, dot, dot, dot. And then he went on to say, I watched his onboard and he's not even looking at me. He's looking at the apex of the corner. I don't know why he's not looking at the car in front. And go off, King.
You know what?
You tell him.
And Lance got a 10-second penalty for that in the race. But I think post-race, they filed a complaint. And because Lance was not looking at the the road. And I think he's going to have a bigger penalty at some point.
Yeah.
Because Danny was also handed the 3-point penalty.
Three place
penalty for Miami because he overtook Nico under a safety car. And the reason for that was that they called both of them in.
He got called to the principal's office.
And he explained that he felt that he could overtake Nico because Nico had overtaken him under safety car before on lap 28. The stewards noted that car 27 was permitted to overtake car 3 on lap 28 because of article 55.8.
Oh, so, we're citing sources. Yeah, we're citing our sources.
So Danny said, okay, well, he did it to me, so I'm doing it back to him. And then he got punished for that.
So an eye for an eye makes the whole world blind, Daniel. An eye for an eye makes the whole world blind.
So, you know, it just was like a really, really tough day for not only Danny, but also poor Yuki. Yuki got the short end of the stick because Magnussen ran into him. So we had a double DNF, DNF for V-carb this week. And Yuki was pissed too. But I think Danny was maybe on track to score some points and maybe turn his luck around. But
the full moon, man. We thought it was going to help him. It only hurt him. Lance harnessed the power of the full moon.
Yeah, Lance, what witching powers did you do? What curse have you set forth upon Daniel Ricciardo?
With that eclipse.
Our hypothesis that he would start from the back of the grid and reach his way and to the podium is incorrect.
Incorrect. And that's a tough one. What? We can't be right all the time. We can't be right all the time, but we can try. But what I do want to talk about that was very good. I want to talk about some good stuff from China. Number one, Alex Albon's helmet.
I loved it.
I think maybe one of the best helmets I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was so
like
fun.
So cute, so fun.
I loved the promo that they did too, like with all of the pandas. Yes. It was really cute.
So cute. So I loved that. And I mean, we can't talk about the Chinese Grand Prix without talking about Zhou Guanyu.
Yeah, of course.
I have never felt so much like joy for another human being.
Yeah.
Like, I just felt like this weekend, I think that they did a really great job about making it about him, but not like overdoing it where it felt like cheesy.
Yeah.
But like, I think Stake did, we think Stake is doing the best job on social this year, especially with its drivers. But like, they had such a cute little thing that they did where Joe was bringing Valtteri around Shanghai. Mm-hmm. And like
showing him all the spots
to this like food hall for food, and like they were getting food together and they were talking about hot pot, and then he brought Valtteri to get tea, like a tea thing with him. It was just like really, really sweet.
Yeah.
And I think that they're just, I mean, I've said it before, I love them as teammates. I think they're so cute. And I think that like Valtteri does a good job at being like kind of like that older brother mentor almost. And so to see him just be so like genuinely interested in this tour around Shanghai with Joe was so sweet. And then obviously at the race, I was just like, it was just like so heartwarming to see all of the support that he was getting. And I mean, there hasn't been a race in China in 5 years. They've never had this. Joe's the first Chinese driver in history. So like for him to be the first Chinese driver to have a home race, for him to be the driver that the Chinese fans have to root at home, it was so special and so touching. You could just like feel the love at that circuit, and then gave him his own Parc Fermé spot so that he could park at the end of the race in front of the grandstand, and he got out and like started crying, and it was just like, I was crying. Like
everyone was crying. Everyone loved that.
It was so sweet. I just like,
it
made me so happy.
And his radio, or either his radio or him saying like, I used to dream of this. Like I dreamed of being here. I dreamed of being in this paddock, and to like finally have my dreams come true. He's like, you know, the past 2 years, there hasn't been a race in Shanghai. And so he's like, that was a little disappointing, but being here today has been like so special. And I'm just like, follow your dreams, baby.
It's it like really just warmed all of the dead pieces of my heart, truly. I was so happy for him. So I feel like that like was really just like
the icing
on top of the weekend. Like I'm so happy for him, and I'm so happy for the fans, and I just feel like it was like a really special moment to witness too. Like it's like that's history being made, and I think that's so fun. So China, 10 out of 10. Five stars.
I really enjoyed it. I can't wait to see next year. And I think the track is really cool too.
It's so fun. Yeah. It is so fun. I would love to go. I mean, like, that area of China just looks so beautiful. And we saw, like, Alex and Lily do, because Lily was born in Chengdu, Sichuan. And so they went there for a little bit and looked so beautiful. And, like, I just think it's such a beautiful country. I would love to someday have the chance to witness it.
Same.
So on our list of circuits that I think we'd love to go to.
Amen.
But let's get into some bigger F1 news for the week.
Yeah. So in terms of larger F1 news this week, this one is not really F1 news, F1 adjacent. But there's a rumor that potentially Mick Schumacher may make an IndyCar entrance next year for Prima Racing.
Yeah, because Prima's getting into Indy.
Yep. So Prima has said that they want a European driver to represent them in the IndyCar series. And so Mick is pretty high on that list. Gunther's out here running his mouth again about Mick. I feel like he loves to talk shit about, he loves to chat about Mick. But they interviewed him for this piece, or maybe they pulled a quote from a different article. But they were asking Gunther about Mick's possible return to F1. Mm-hmm. And Gunther is straight up like, if it's not happening next year, it's never happening for him. He's like, he can count his motherfucking days, but like he's like, he has to show himself in like the European like league that he's in currently. Yeah. It's like extreme or whatever it mm-hmm. is, in order for him to be seen as a valuable team player next year. And he's like, I just don't see it happening. So you know what, Mick, maybe you following in your father's footsteps in F1 is not the right move for you, but maybe you paving your own way in IndyCar could be the right move for you.
And I think here's the thing, is that a lot of drivers who have not been like top of the podium successful in Formula One are super successful in IndyCar. Like that is like, we see Marcus Ericsson, who obviously was in Formula One for a long time. He was Charles' teammate at Sauber. Like if you came into the sport during from Drive to Survive, season one of Drive to Survive, that's where Charles was. He was at Sauber, and Marcus Ericsson was his teammate, who was way more experienced. But they're like, you know, Marcus has never been on the podium. He has a lot of experience, but has never kind of reached that level of success in F1. And now he has won the Daytona 500. Like, he's super successful in IndyCar. And we also saw Romain Grosjean, who obviously, you know, had his ups and downs in F1, but was never kind of in the running for a world championship. But he's gone and on to be super successful in IndyCar as well. So I feel like this could be, you know, a place where maybe Mick really does find his groove. Yeah. I think we see a lot of people that, like, you know, I think F1 is just so, so competitive, and there's only 20 drivers, and it's the way that the sport is set up. It's very much like, if you're not at the top, you're not.
I mean, realistically,
there are other motorsport series out there that are on, that have more of like an even playing field for everyone that's involved. And so it allows for more success from different people. Yeah. Various.
I agree.
So
listen, everyone can't be a winner all the time, unfortunately.
Unfortunately for America.
Except everyone but Max. So, you know, I think if Mick finds success, I mean, I'll go watch Mick at IndyCar. I'd love to see his bright shining smile. And you know what? It makes sense, because you and I have regularly talked about how Mick is American, all American hero.
Yeah.
So this is actually his destiny. It was written in the stars, I think.
I think we kind of predicted this for a while.
I want to see him in worn out Levi's. I want to see him
in a cable knit sweater.
Like,
oh, I want to see him at a pumpkin patch.
Here's the thing too, is that Pato better watch his back when Mick comes in, because Mick is quite a cutie, and I would love to see them pimp him out for just like all of the promo.
I mean, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Put him in a cable knit sweater. Make the girls go wild.
My cable knit sweater brings all the girls to the yard.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Other things happening in F1 is I saw this morning. Pretty crazy. So there is a potential new points system.
Oh, yeah. She goes, oh, cue the haters.
Get ready. Like, truly, cue the F1 purists. This is bold of them. Like, people are going to be like, tradition. Like, tradition and points. And how are we going to compare people from 100 years ago? Like, I'm prepared for the haters to be coming for F1 here. But allegedly, F1 is reportedly discussing a new point system where points would be distributed to the top 12 drivers to hopefully create more relevance to midfield battle. And this could be implemented as early as 2025. So we could see this as soon as next year, which I kind of like. I think that we've seen a lot more midfield battles. Like, I mean, it's always been a thing in F1. Midfield battles are fun to watch, but
what's at stake? Nothing's at stake.
So essentially what the point system would look like is the same for the top six drivers or top seven. So as of right now, P1 gets 25, then 18, 15, 12, 10, 8, 6. So seventh place gets 6 points. And as of right now, 8th, 9th, and 10th, 8th place gets 4 points, 9th place gets 2 points, 10th place gets 1 point. And essentially what they would do is from 8 to 12, it just is 1 point difference. Mm-hmm. So 8th would get 5, 9th 4, 10th 3, 11th 2, and 12th 1. So that's interesting. Yeah. I think it elongates it just a little bit. So that'll like a little bit more of these midfield places and people that are like just missing out on points could now get a point. And it's really just kind of like the bottom of the pack that doesn't get awarded points, which I think is interesting. And I think, I don't know, I think it could be kind of fun. It could give people a little bit more of a chance, especially in this era of like really dominant cars.
Yeah.
However, we'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll like it or if it won't really make a lot of difference.
Well, do you think they're going to be upset about it in the same way that they were upset about Andretti potentially coming in and there being 11th team? And they're like, this is disrupting like the points and how money is being spread around. And so it's like, okay, well, if you add more potential points, then that's less money that someone could potentially get if they get like 8th place versus 8th place next year.
I don't think that the top teams are going to care because nothing changes for them.
Right.
I think that midfield teams, it'll be interesting to see because I think it'll be the ones that are really coming in around that area, around like P10, P11, P12, like that are really kind of in there that are going to like it because they'll have more chance for points. And the teams right above it that are kind of, I don't know, I think it's interesting because it doesn't change too much because the first, it's not like they're doing every single position gets different points now. It's just those last few. So I don't know. But it is also like you think about the sprint race and people being upset about people getting more points just for having a race. And so I mean, it does disrupt the historical designation of points.
Yeah.
Why people were so upset about the sprint, because it's like comparing stats from several years ago to people now. And it's
like...
And it's like we can't. Not everyone's apples to apples.
It's
similar. We're gonna go there. I'm going a little political right now. Get ready.
Buckle up.
Buckle up. It's similar to in the United States when we talk about Second Amendment. Is it Second Amendment? Right to bear arms. Second Amendment, the right to bear arms. And we're like, it's historical, it's traditional, it's been this way forever, so we shouldn't update it. And when you think about that, it's like, okay, but yes, but when this was implemented, we were using bayonets. Like we had muskets. Like that were the arms that were being
carried. 10 minutes to load that gun and fire it at someone.
Run away pretty quickly. Like there, and now we obviously have access to like
semi-automatic,
like war grade,
unclip hundreds of bullets in 30 seconds.
So it's like, okay, but so does the rule that was made back when muskets were all the rage, does that rule have to stay the same even though we like technology has advanced? Yeah. Now it's kind of similar to F1.
Gun control, new point system. How are they the same?
Because it's like the points and like thinking about the point system back at the conception of F1, the cars, you look at the cars and I'm like, what even were those? Like they were basically literally
pedaling them with their own feet.
Flintstone cars, like if Fred Flintstone was racing. But like, I mean, you look at them and you're like, okay, that could have maybe made sense. Now you look at all the new regulations and the technology that these cars have and it's like, okay, but does now it make sense to take this system and evolve it to match the times? Like, I don't think that people ever like to see change in like fundamentals of how something works, but it does call into question, does this need to like evolve to match the times and the technology of everything surrounding it? And I think yes.
Listen, you're preaching to the choir here, but I'm thinking like with F1, it's like, why wouldn't you want it to be more competitive? Why wouldn't you want it to like be more fun? Like, and this is the whole problem with F1 as a sport in general, is that they are so classist. They are so traditionalist. They are so, it has to follow the rules. It has to be cookie cutter. It has to be black and white. And I think that they're running into some issues with that in the current times that I think will ultimately be their downfall. So I think that if they do not upgrade and they don't make some changes, like they're going to lose what they have.
Yeah.
And it's going to be pretty disappointing for a lot of people.
Agreed. If they don't change these points, I'm out.
I'm out.
but that's something new and something that we'll definitely be keeping our eyes on. Also huge news in the F1 world. Huge news in the F1 world. F1 Arcade has opened in the United States and we were there.
And we got to go and experience it and it was so fun.
I had a really good time. I think if you've never been to the F1 Arcade in London, I haven't. So I didn't really have anything to compare this to. Neither has Nicole. But it was really interesting. So F1 Arcade opened its first U.S. location in Boston, Massachusetts. And as two proud former Boston residents, we got to go. And it was fun. It was cool. It was the grand open or like soft launch
party event.
It wasn't open to the public yet. So it was very like it was an event. There was a DJ, there was past drinks and apps and food and everyone from the Boston influencer scene. And there was the New England Patriots were there. Like it was like it was insane. I will say they may have missed the mark in inviting motor adjacent people. We were in line to get it because they were checking people in. And so, yes, there was a line. it was like the one cool thing happening in Boston that weekend. So everyone was there. We're waiting in line to get checked in. And someone behind us in line says, F1 Arcade sounds like cars. Like it sounds like F1 cars.
Crazy, huh? Crazy how that
works. We're like, got it. Got it. That's what we're walking into. Got it. So I think there was a little miss there, but it was like every single Boston influencer that like seen was in this place. But that being said, it was very cool, very fun. F1 Arcade has 100 sims at least.
I think they had like 70.
Insane. Yeah. Everywhere you look, there was a different sim, and it's really cool. So you can play kind of, you're basically racing the other sims around you, but you don't have to like pay attention to that. Like you're just kind of racing.
You can drive your own race. Hey,
you can drive your own race. Or
was today he was not paying attention to anyone else.
I'm on a sim right now. So like you can, you know, race on your own. You can be the one, or you can like have your friends sit next to you and like race them, which was so fun. And I've never done a full sim before. And so, I mean, it took a little bit. It took a race or two to get the hang
we
of
had
it.
To get the hang of it. I was like, do I have to drive? I have to drive with 2 feet. This is new for me. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing.
I will say I got really good at it.
I was like, do I have to shift gears? I don't know how to shift gears.
I think it was doing it automatically because we were on easy. Yeah.
The one that I started, which was like the third Pro. Hardest. I was like, okay, I have no fucking, I flipped over in that race. Like I literally knocked into someone and I took a tumble.
Yeah.
So definitely start with easy is my pro tip. Don't try and be a hero here.
Rookie level is where it's at. But then we raced each other, which is really fun. It really does get your adrenaline pumping. Like I was like, I feel like I get it. I get why these drivers do. I was like, I don't want this to be over. Like I'm having so much fun. It was really cool. I would definitely go back to like spend some time on the Sims. And I guess they were telling us that you can do like groups of I think like 8 people and you get 4 Sims. And so, but you're on teams. So then you like kind of swap in and out of the seats and you have like a team race, which I think is really cool. I would love to do that. I think it was just like just really fun. And they circulate the different tracks. Mm-hmm. So Nicole raced at Coda for one race and then we did Zandvoort. And then where else was I?
You were in Abu Dhabi?
I think I was Abu Dhabi. Yeah.
Which or Bahrain, something like that.
It was so fun. It's cool. You can just like go and race the different different tracks and you can adjust, like we said, the level of how hard it is. And it was just really cool. Outside of that, they also had the reaction time for Pierre's specialty.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool. Huge bars.
Yeah.
The bars were
there were probably like 5 rooms, like 5 different areas, and each one of them had their own bar.
Yeah, massive and gorgeous. Like I think like the like just the
ambiance, the aesthetic,
really cool. It's like floor to ceiling glass windows all around it pretty much, so you just like kind of look over the Boston skyline and what's going on. It's in a really cool part of the seaport. Kind of right in the middle of the action in that neighborhood. So I think all in all, I think it's really cool. They also will, if you are in the Boston area, they will be doing watch parties for every single race, no matter the hour. Yeah. So they opened this week.
They opened on Monday.
Yeah. They were not open for the Chinese Grand Prix. However, next year for the Chinese Grand Prix at 3 a.m., they will be open. And when they host watch parties, I believe they said it'll be open play. So it'll be free play. You can play the Sims for free. You'll just have to purchase drinks and food. But super cool. I think that's something really new for the Boston area. Have something open those hours. Yeah. So really cool. We'll definitely be looking into hosting maybe some Boston area watch parties, which I think will be really fun.
They had really fun themed food and drinks, F1 themed. And Kate and I did not partake because we were still doing our whole 30. But we are looking forward to going back and trying them out because we heard about they have mini corn dogs, which apparently are the best thing on the menu. And they're called Glizzies.
Try it.
And we have to try them.
The waiter came up and asked Nicole if she wanted to try one.
He was like, Glizzy? And I was like, are you just saying that to me because it's like a hot dog? Or is this like the actual name of the thing? I have no idea.
Like, are you making a joke with me? Like,
that's actually what they're called.
Hysterical. So yeah, we're excited to go back. We'll be back very soon, I think. So hot thing to do if you're in the New England area of the United States or taking a trip to Boston anytime soon. Okay. It's time for driver.
Driver drama.
Let's get into the driver stuff. So I'm going to start with a little bit of a silly season discussion. There's a lot to talk about here. So Alonso, we know, has been the first to kind of make a silly season announcement that he's staying with Aston Martin. But he did say that this is probably his last contract, to the surprise of no one. Like Alonso, I think about 12 times today during the race, they're like, he's about to be the oldest driver in history. Like Alonso.
And you know what though? He still got it. He could be like, you know what? Fuck it. One more contract.
One more. And he'll just do like 1 year contracts for a while. Like he might.
But it's kind of one of those things where it's like, okay, well, if he keeps performing at this level and he keeps winning and he's providing really valuable insight, it's like, what reason do they have? And he wants to keep racing. Like same with Lewis. Like if they're doing well, mm-hmm. and they're bringing a lot of value to the team. But you know what? This kind of plays into the whole generational thing too, where they're like, boomers don't retire and they don't give up like positions of influence in companies, and people can't move up. And so like, it's giving that where it's like, hey, grandpa, it's time for you to go. Go do
anything.
An advisory role, join a board. Do something else.
Do something else, please. Yeah. So that's interesting. But also along the news of Silly Season and Aston Martin is that apparently, so we talked about this, that Honda is about to move to Aston Martin and supply the engines. And apparently Honda is like desperate to see Yuki.
To see Yuki, I saw that.
Aston Martin really want a Japanese driver to be driving the Honda cars. That is super interesting. I've also seen a couple rumors. It's more opinions. It's not really rumors. It's just people thinking things, saying that they really think that Lance is going to quit after this year. Like he's going to be done with F1. Kind of similar to what we were talking about last year. Of like Aston Martin's going to keep Lance, but does Lance want to be kept?
Yeah.
TBD. So could be interesting. Someone was saying maybe Lance will move into like a more like advisory position and like help like with the car or something. Lance,
go do something else, bro.
Just do what makes your heart
go
happy.
Just come on the weekends and have fun with it.
You don't even really have to do anything because you're so rich.
You don't have to do anything. I'm so jealous.
So just make your heart happy. Take some time for yourself. Focus on you. Have an Eat, Pray, Love year. I don't know.
I would love to watch Lance's chronicles of him having an Eat, Pray, Love year.
It'd be so funny. But also in the discussions of what's going to be happening with this musical chairs of open seats, Helmut Marko had a lot to say this week.
Helmut Marko has been having busy. A lot. He's been busy saying things. He's been busy.
He's been chatting it up. He should have his own podcast like us where he just says things. He's been busy.
Helmut Marko's rumor corner would be so fire. Like, I feel like he has a lot of opinions. This is not me endorsing him, but I would just love, because, you know, we talk mad shit about Helmut Marko on this pod. But yeah, I feel like he's a chatty Cathy and he's got things to say. So
someone put a mic in front of him.
This is the only white man with a podcast we're condoning.
So, but he had a lot of kind of conflicting messages about the second seat at Red Bull. So first, he came out to say that Red Bull has been talking to Carlos and like kind of trying to sign Carlos for that second seat. But that Carlos has a huge offer from Audi that Red Bull cannot match or compete with. So like, holy shit.
Get that bag, baby.
Get that bag, Carlos. Take a year off for you and come back with Audi if that's what it takes, because damn, go for it. He also said that Danny does not have any hope of securing a seat at Red Bull if he's not clearly faster than Yuki.
Hey, he did finish above Yuki today, so.
Neither of them finished.
Okay, well, technically, it said Danny was 18th and Yuki was 19th.
Technically. So.
Technicality, it's still a loophole.
There's that. But then he came out and said that he admitted that Checo Perez is the best Red Bull option for 2025. So I'm like, are you guys just striking out and Checo is your last resort? What's happening?
Yeah, what's kind of going on there? Yeah, I don't. It will be such a wild card if they are like, surprise, actually Checo is going to be re-signed after
all the drama of everyone being like, it's going to be literally anyone. It's really been ABC, anyone but Checo.
But you know what? That would be so vindicating and so validating for Checo to be like, I sat in silence. I let you guys run your mouths.
He was moving in silence.
He said, don't worry about me. Focus on yourself.
I'll be there.
Don't worry about me.
Yeah, don't worry. I'll be there and I'll remember every one of you that said I shouldn't be.
We're first on that list.
Who doesn't give a fuck about us?
Anyway.
Anyways, we're nervous now.
In my boots. Okay, speaking of Lance Stroll potentially retiring.
He might be forced into retirement
because, well, how many races have we had? Six? Five?
Four, five?
Five. Race five. So we're five races into the 2024 season. And obviously this is within a full calendar year, but Logan Sargeant and Lance Stroll are now more than halfway towards receiving a race ban after being involved in incidents during the Chinese Grand Prix. So they have so many points against them on their super license already that it is going to be a ban for them pretty soon. I don't doubt that they will reach that limit.
No.
The two of them are kind of on a chaos roll right now.
They really, reign of terror. reign of terror.
Double L's, reign of terror.
LS. The LS's, Logan Sargeant, Lance Stroll. If your initials are LS, you're on a reign of terror right now.
The two kind of North American frat boys,
they're linking up. And they're saying, let's cause some chaos.
The Pike boys are on one over there.
Lambda Sigma. Lambda Sigma. The brothers of Lambda Sigma.
The disgusting brothers of Lambda Sigma. The
disgusting brothers of Lambda Sigma on terror straight.
So since the system was introduced 10 years ago, no driver has ever reached a tally of 12 to be issued a race exclusion. Pierre got pretty close.
Pierre did get close. I remember that.
It was like he had one race until his thing reset. I think Checo did too. They were pretty close. And then they were like two races away from like having a reset, because it's like within a full 12 months. It's not just season. So they carry over to the new season if you get like points in December.
And didn't they like almost voluntarily keep Pierre out of a race because they were like, we'd rather like...
No, they were like, what was going to happen? There was speculation that they were going to have Pierre just get the point. And so because it was...
Oh, they didn't want him to miss out on the first race of the next season.
Yeah, because he was going into Alpine, remember? Yeah. It was when he was switching from AlphaTauri to Alpine. Yeah. And they were just going to... He was just going to like get the point so that he could go into the season fresh.
Yeah.
But that did not happen.
Mickey Snake.
However, Sargeant is now the driver that's closest to being punished following an infringement during the race in Shanghai. Similar to Danny, everyone's kind of taking over Nico under safety cars. The stewards determined that Sargeant overtook Nico under a safety car when the latter came out of the pits. When passing the safety car line, Hulkenberg was ahead and Sargeant failed to yield the position. So he received, whatever. He finished above both of them today, so... It is what it is. So
is what it is.
Logan and Lance better watch their backs because a ban is coming for them.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. ArmorAll, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Yeah. I mean, okay, we gotta rewind a little bit to Pierre.
Yeah, how do we miss this?
We gotta rewind to Pierre because we were just talking about him almost getting a race ban, and I'm similarly about to ban him from not going to the barber.
We need to ban the images of him from the internet right now.
What's going on with his hair? Both on his head and facially.
And you know what? We used to talk all the time about Pierre's neck beard, how bad it was.
He has the weirdest...
He seemingly got it in order for him.
Yes.
Thank you, Kika. However, I don't know what's going on right now. It is...
Like, everyone's online talking about Pierre's toupee.
Like, Pierre, baby boy. What? Like,
what's going on? What is the...
Is it just that he this? Has maybe... Maybe that's the case, is he hasn't been able to get to his barber because they've been on the other side of the world.
Maybe, but it's...
I'll give him the benefit of the doubt on that. But, like, he should fly that person out to him because, well, it's similar with Charles. It is, like, seemingly mullet that he's getting. I think all of them have just not been able to get their haircuts.
Well, Charles, it's his mom.
Right.
So he's got to get home. He was just home for his LEC event.
Was he?
Oh, that was Milan. I thought he was just home recently, but he's got to get
home. Either way, Pierre...
Charles is not as desperate as Pierre right now. Pierre is, it's not looking great.
Charles's facial hair, though, has been questionable as of late as well.
Please lean back.
No, I had to sit up for this.
A lot of things about Charles has been questionable of late, all right? I've been saying it.
You'll be the first to say.
I'm the first to say that Charles needs to step up his game in life right now for me, other than becoming a father. That's the one thing that he's done lately.
I will say this, though, that people, when we posted about his potential mullet, like it's kind of growing out in the back, people were like, no, this duo, we liked it.
Yeah, I liked it.
I love Charles.
I think he looks good. I'm just going to say it now. I think he looks great. I think he's been looking good.
He's always looking good.
He's always looking good to me.
Pierre, take some tips.
Just absolutely. Hey,
Pierre, do you not have anyone in your life who's like, hey, bud, maybe do something about
it? You're just looking really thick and like unruly a little bit. Like it's getting to the point where I'm like, you could brush that. I know, I don't like that. And the hair is, by popular consensus, looking like a toupee. Not my words, the internet's words. So it's not me, but I don't disagree.
Yeah, just as we got to do something about it. He's not looking his best. And I know Pierre, I know there's a real handsome Pierre under there. I know there is.
We also do know that he has a problem with his hairline though as well. We've seen the photo.
Yeah, we've seen the photos.
So unless he got some plug.
We're every week we're wondering who has plugs in on the F1 grid.
Unless he has some plugs and that's why his hair is being like so like thick now. And he doesn't know how to deal with it because he's never had so much hair.
It's a potential.
Talk to Lewis about it. Big week for us talking about Alonso.
I mean,
Alonso is a big topic.
You know, always bringing it back to Lance redemption year. And he keeps proving me wrong, but it's Alonso's redemption year. And
got a Taylor Swift song written about him.
If you remember this time last year.
If you recall.
It was like this time last year.
Nuts.
That feels like.
So long ago.
No, it doesn't though. Like it doesn't feel that long ago to me. And
I know
like
I'm just saying it is so long ago, but it does not feel that way.
And so if you have, you know, been under a rock this week, Taylor Swift did release a new album.
Double album
on last Friday. And in one of her lyrics in her song, I'm Gonna Get You Back, is I'm an Aston Martin and you drove me right into the ditch. And so obviously, everyone said the rumors of Taylor.
Rumors were true.
They were true. And Alonso moved in silence, similar to Checo. He said, I'll let you talk. I'll let you guys run your mouths. I'm not going to say a single thing about it.
No, he posted that video, the TikTok about it, though.
Last year.
Oh, when last.
People were speculating on it. And so he posted a little video with the lyrics. And I.
Like a little wink, a little cheeky wink.
You wink, a little shh. And
I think it might be true. I love it. I might be subscribing to this former. They might have gone on a date.
Or do you think Taylor was like, hey, I saw all of the rumors about the Alonso thing. And obviously it wasn't true, but I could have picked any car. And so I'm going to pick Aston Martin just to kind of like stoke the flames a little bit.
Stir the pot a little bit.
Stir the pot. Do you think Alonso and Taylor have ever spoken? You don't think so?
I don't think so.
I mean, the thing is though.
Maybe their teams have spoken, but I don't think they've spoken.
Yeah, but that's why I'm wondering like.
Unless they spoke a long time ago when she like performed at Coda and it was like kind of early days of her fame because obviously Alonso was around.
Yeah. He's been around forever.
He's always been around. So unless they like met back then, but I don't think they like talk now.
The song.
I do not think that they speak now.
The song Smallest Man Alive is also about Alonso.
Surprise, the entire album is actually just about Alonso.
I'm just thinking about how all of these songs could be about Alonso. And it's
I'm just thinking about the title of that song being I'm Gonna Get You Back.
She's desperate.
She's waiting for him to have his final contract so that they can finally be together. She's like, you are really used to traveling around the world to come do it with me on my private jet.
I'm screaming. Yeah, that would be hysterical. So kind of a perfect bow on that Taylonzo rumor. Like it was ultimate completion, the ultimate finality that we needed. The rumor had fallen off.
It's back. And what a conclusion it was.
Should we get into some F1 Academy stuff?
We should get into F1 Academy. So if you remember from two weeks ago when Max said some things about F1 Academy, one of the championship leader of F1 Academy has now come out and said that she disagrees with him.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to reread what Max said in case any of you listening missed that episode. I should not read it and make you go back and listen, but I'm nice. So I'm going to read it. So Max said, it is good that Formula One is now paying extra attention to women in motorsport with F1 Academy, although I have question marks about how they approach it. The cars they drive are far too slow. If you ever want to get them into Formula One, it really has to go to a higher level. It's nice that girls are now sponsored by Formula One teams, but what are we actually helping them with? There is no next step for them now. The gap to a Formula One car, for example, is already too big. And we talked about this last week in that that's not necessarily true because they are driving like Formula 4 cars and like there are next steps. And so we're like, I don't know if Max maybe doesn't know, but that was just kind of us speculating. But Abby Pulling, who is in the lead of F1 Academy Championship right now, has come out with a statement, and she said, "I like Max. I don't know if he knows that the winner last year went to Formula Regional and is racing with Prima, who won the championship last year. I don't know if he knows that's an opportunity that we get, the championship winner. I disagree on the point that there's no next step. I'd like to think that if I was to win the championship this year or anyone else, they would get the same prize, if not more, than what happened last year with Marta Garcia." Yeah. And as a refresher, Marta Garcia, the winner last year, clinched the 2023 F1 Academy Championship, and this year is competing in the Formula Regional European Championship by Alpine, FRECA, where she will drive alongside Dorian Pinn for the Iron Ladies team. Mercedes announced the participation of Dorian Pinn, who's currently third in the F1 Academy Championship, on Thursday. Again, we're already seeing not even a championship winner or leader in the championship also being promoted to this level. The difference, I don't know if this is the same for Dorian. I have not heard, but Marta Garcia, who was last year's champion, is received a fully funded
seat. Right.
So they are fully funding her to take this next step up. So I think it's really nice that Abby kind of came out and said that, because I think that there's been a lot of talk and a lot of people trying to decide, like, and commenting on whether or not, like, there is a next step. And I think usually it's come from, like, F1 Academy leadership, or it's come from, like, Lewis talking, you know, good things. So I think it's nice that Abby was also like, listen, I'm in this and I think it's a good thing. And, like, I'm happy to be here and I'm happy with the opportunities that I'm being given. And I don't think she was necessarily forced to say that. So I think that's a win.
Yeah. No, I agree.
It's nice to kind of have that information out there, and not just us, like, speculating about what Max is saying, but someone in the know.
Someone in the know. Yeah, good for Abby for speaking up. And I hope Max attends the F1 Academy race in Miami.
Yeah.
Which is our next race, which is crazy.
Crazy that's coming up so soon. We'll be there.
Gotta get our ducks in a row.
We gotta get our ducks in a row. I gotta figure out where we're gonna eat.
Yeah, we will be there. If you haven't seen our announcement already, we'll be there with Hero Cosmetics.
So excited.
Very excited. It'll be a fun trip, and I feel very lucky to be able to go and experience a race like this.
We've been talking to the people behind the Miami race, and they are really excited about some improvements that have been made to the track and to the kind of fan experience around. So if you haven't been around in the TGNF community for the past 2 years, we were at the inaugural Miami Grand Prix. We were in the grandstands and we had a great time, but there were definitely some things where, like, okay, you know, growing pains of the first race. And as we've been talking to Miami this year, they've made a lot of different changes and have really focused on the fans and making the fan experience really good. So we're excited to kind of see those differences. So if you have been considering Miami, but you don't know if it's worth it and you have questions about the experience at Miami, let us know kind of what content you want to see that would help you make your decision for next year. And we're happy to kind of go around. We're thinking about doing some videos from different areas of the track, you know, where to get your tickets. Hopefully we'll be doing a taste test of a food, the drinks, just really kind of focusing on the experience there. So let us know, but we're very excited. And if you've been around for a while, you know, we love Hero Cosmetics. So this is going to be like a really fun.
Yeah, I'm very excited about this. Okay. And on that note, we do have a manifest minute this week.
Let's get into it. Let's do a manifest.
This is from a follower and her name is Marcia or Marcia. She specifically said the Spanish pronunciation of her name is not the same as the English one, but she's no phonetics expert, so just go with the best that you can. So
thanks.
I have to say it's probably Marcia, not Marcia. But so here's her manifest. So when she was 14, she found out that being a flight attendant was a real job. Like, she could make a living traveling the world. It felt unreal and it felt like she had found her calling. However, she came from a family of professionals and academics, so she felt this pressure to attend university and get a degree. She tried very hard and spent 6 years going from one career to another to find something that felt right, but she just couldn't. Finally, in 2020, the pandemic hit and she had to move back to her parents' house, and it gave her an opportunity to reflect on what she was doing with her life. When she found a new job, where she currently works, she was able to move back to her apartment and pay to study to be a flight attendant. Reading theory never felt so easy and fulfilling. Now she's throwing herself in the arms of the power of TG1F community and hoping that her personal efforts are met with ours and we achieve this together. She's 27, and for the first time, she applied for a job that she's actually excited about. An airline in the Middle East, better known by this community as a sponsor of the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. She would greatly appreciate if you could send your good energy towards the underpaid, career-struggling woman who knows maybe if this works, we could see each other sipping cocktails at Yas Marina. So I would like everyone to close their eyes and get a deep breath in, deep breath out, and really just imagine Marcia, and her struggling to really fit into a career that she just didn't really love. I think we've all probably been there at some point. And essentially realizing that she only has one life to live and she's going to do whatever the heck makes her the most happiest. So she is applying for jobs. She sent that email to Emirates. She's really excited. And in a matter of time, she's going to receive an email back about getting an interview and nailing that test, and she's going to be so excited and get to travel the world. So just imagine that future of her being super excited and being a jet setter queen.
I'm honestly envisioning myself sitting on an airplane, having someone come up to me and say, how's this flight so far? And looking up, and it's Marcia, and being like, oh my God, hey girl. We're both here. You did it. I did it. We're on our way to Abu Dhabi and we are going to be sipping some cocktails together, but you're getting there for free because it's with your job.
Who knows? Maybe we'll get there free too because Emirates will decide to sponsor us.
So true.
So this is a manifest for both of us. Sorry, Marcia, we've co-opted.
Your manifest.
Either way, there's a lot of success in the future. So let's take a deep breath in, deep breath out. And let's really set this intention this week by
following our dreams. Listen to your heart.
Doing something that you've always wanted to do that's been maybe something you've pushed back on or you felt too afraid to do based on people's opinions or expectations of you. And it can be something super small, like trying a new hobby.
Yeah.
Maybe doing that stand-up comedy you thought you always wanted to do, but have always been really scared to do because you thought maybe people would judge you. Whatever it is, I think you should do something for yourself this week.
Yeah. Push yourself out of your comfort zone and realize that – and take into account what Nicole said. Like, you only have one life to live, and let's not let other people define what our life is going to look like. So just because you come from a family that – has always had these traditional jobs, that doesn't mean that has to be your story. And we are all the authors of our own story. So just do what makes you happy. Try something new. Be brave, like all the F1 drivers.
Be brave.
And just do something that's going to really make your heart happy this week. And think about Marcia while you do it.
Well, I'm not beautiful now. That's a wrap for us.
That's a wrap. We'll be back next week with another episode. But in the meantime,
we'll see you on the internet.
Bye. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of TG1F, an F1 podcast with Kate and Nicole.
If you like what you heard, don't miss out on the fun between episodes.
Keep up with the chaos on Instagram at Two Girls, One Formula. That's spelled out T-W-O, girls, numerical one, formula.
And check out our website, twogirlsoneformula.com, to shop cute, fan-made F1 merch.
See you next week.
But like we said, in the meantime, we'll see you on the internet.